Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. This morning I want to share something that God laid on my heart this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. So please take your Bibles this morning, and even the children. I know you enjoy going downstairs, but there's some times that the pastor feels you need to be upstairs, and this is one of those times. The book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 29. For those of you that are looking forward to Revelation, I don't apologize, but I am sorry that I'm not going to be there this morning. I need to be where God wants me to be. I have to follow the Lord. And that's where we need to be, Proverbs 29. And as we always do, let's stand as we give reverence to the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 29, I know that it has been somewhat different today, but I believe that it has been ordered by the Lord. And my heart, as a minister of the gospel, has been affected by what I've seen the last few days, and there's been a lot said about terrorist attacks, and I just want to say that we do not understand the devastation and the heartbreak that many folks felt. Are you with me today? Many folks felt when President Roosevelt shared with our country that Pearl Harbor had been attacked by Japanese Air Force or their flights. And we wasn't there. I've heard his speech many times, what he said about, I know that Winston Churchill had tried for some time to get America to help Britain and some of the other countries to fight Hitler. And we had just came out of World War I not many years before that. And Roosevelt didn't want to put our country and have many of our young men and women killed again in war. But when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, it caused us to go to war to defend our liberty. And a lot of folks forget that. And a lot of folks, they've been putting a lot of emphasis on the Trade Center. And I know a lot of people was killed there. There's also people killed in Washington and in Pennsylvania. And I don't know why the news coverage is probably 85% World Trade Center, New York, and about 10% Washington, and hardly maybe 1% or 2% coverage you'll find about Pennsylvania. But all those people died that day. And what my heart is touched with is, number one, where our country has gotten itself to, the decisions that it has made. And then number two, all those people that woke up in hell that Tuesday morning. I know that in our country that there are people who believe everybody goes to heaven. If that be so, we were wasting our time this morning in church. I'm wasting my life giving it to preaching of God's Word if that's so, but it's not so. You must be born again. So just give me a few moments. I won't take long. I know that it's later than usual for me to be in the pulpit, but I want you to look in verse 2 of chapter 29. Verse 2 of chapter 29 with me, please. And I want to read this verse of Scripture and pray and just share what's on my heart, and we'll be dismissed for the afternoon. Proverbs 29, verse 2. Is everybody there? Will you give me an amen? If you don't have a Bible, there should be some in a pew there. And so let's read, as I read it aloud, read it in your heart. The Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. When the righteous are in authority,
the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that in Christ's name you give me liberty, you give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. You know, Lord, I've got a million thoughts in my head right now, and I've had it since 2 or 3 days when I began to thinking about what we do this morning. I want to please you. Lord, I don't want to do anything because some other church is doing it. Lord, I don't want to follow another church. I'm going to follow you. And so, Lord, today as I give the verse that I believe will help us, you'd give me strength and wisdom. I pray you help our children, our teens, our singles, our moms and dads, and our grandparents to, Lord, have an open heart to the Word of God. That they'll listen, Lord. There'll be no disturbances. Or that our children will understand the importance of being in the house of God when the man of God is mounting the pulpit and sharing the precious Word of God. Speak to hearts today. In Christ's name, amen and amen. A lot is said about our country this morning, and you know, if you know me well, you know that I'm very patriotic. I enjoy studying the history of the United States, and I want to know where our country came from, what it was founded on, and I'm grateful and thankful this morning that I'm an American citizen, that I have liberty that so many other people have never experienced. But greater still, I'm happy and thankful that I'm not only an American, but that I'm a Christian. The Bible speaks in Galatians chapter 5 about the liberty that no army on this earth can give. A liberty, a freedom that no president, no dictator, no country can give. But it's a liberty that only comes from Jesus Christ. And that liberty, of course, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just by the good grace of God today that you and I are saved and are born in the country that we live in today. I know that we had over 40 countries listening and downloading sermons from last month, and I know that there'll be many folks from different countries listening to this sermon today, but I wanted to say to you that it is a blessing to be an American. I said a while ago that Thomas Jefferson has said that the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and with the enemy. And we've seen that through the years, and you've studied the history of the United States, you see that there's been a lot of bloodshed. I've heard it often said, and you've heard it said, that liberty's not free, freedom's not free. There's got to be a sacrifice. There's got to be a defense. There's got to be an effort. And I thank God that you and I are free as Americans, but better yet, as Christians. I believe that the flag ought to be respected. I believe it ought to be honored. And I believe instead of folks wearing it as a patch on their backside, they ought to lift it up and let it wave in the wind. I have no respect for anybody that calls himself an American that will burn the flag. So, preacher, it's just a piece of fabric, just a flag. No, it's a symbol of our freedom and of our liberty that we have been given, not by our military, but by God. I love our military. Thank God for them. I was sitting at Dollar General in the parking lot, Matthew and I, while Angela and Morgan went in the Dollar General there in Flower Branch several days ago, and a gentleman came out with his uniform, military uniform on, came out. I had the windows just kind of halfway rolled down, and I hollered out to him. I said, "Thank you, sir. I appreciate you." It kind of stunned him. I thought he probably don't hear that often. I thank God for our military, but our military did not give us the freedom we have. Our freedom came from God. Our freedom came from the Lord. And I thought today about this verse of Scripture, and I want to say just a few things about it. And I want to say that in this verse of Scripture, the Bible says plainly that when the righteous, or when those that are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not talking about self-righteousness, it's talking about salvation righteousness. It says when the righteous, when those that abide by the Word of God, whenever they fall on their knees and they ask for guidance from God, when those group of people are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked, those that are anti-God, those that are anti-Bible, those that are anti-scriptural, when they bear rule, the people mourn. All through the Word of God, I'll not take time, but that has been seen over and over. When there was Pharaoh ruling, a wicked man ruled in Egypt, the Bible speaks about how that the people were people that during the plagues were people that mourned and they lacked some things. But yet God's people, Israel, God blessed. And God took care of them. When you think about the Israelites under the Babylonian captivity, when you think about them under the Assyrian captivity, all you read about from Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel is people mourning because the wicked were in leadership positions during the day which they lived. When David was a man that followed the Lord, Israel was the greatest nation, kingdom, in all the world, and God blessed it. God told Abraham that, Abraham, if you bless me, I'll bless you. If you honor me, I'll honor you. But if you don't, and if your country doesn't, then I'll not give you honor. And I know there's still a few of us around today that love the Lord, love the Scriptures, trying to do right and live right, but the majority of the people that are living in our country are anti-God, they're anti-Bible, they're anti-preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. They are people that the Word of God calls a wicked generation. And we have them ruling in our communities, our counties, our states, and in our country. And because of that, today, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we are in mourning. We're not in rejoicing. But our heart is broken because of the leadership that is in our land today. And I'll go a step farther, is even in our pulpits today across this nation. I want to give you six things in closing, and I want you to write these things down. I want to say, first of all, when the wicked rule, when those that are anti-God, today, and you may say, preacher, you don't know for sure, but when we have a president that will say for the first time, the first president that's ever canceled the National Day of Prayer is the president that sits in the White House today. It has never been canceled before, but that same president will call for a Muslim Day of Prayer. I've actually got photos sent to me by the way of email of him taking his shoes off and bowing down in Muslim prayer. Our country is in need of revival. And I would say that you and I as Christians, we ought to mourn. It ought to break our heart. And what's wrong with many Christians today in America? They just got used to it. We read reports, as I read of the Phoenix Suns president just the other day, that came out and said that he was gay. And he wanted to start an organization to help other athletes that he knew were gay in basketball and football and baseball and soccer and whatever else it may be, that they would come out and that they would announce that they were gay also. The point guard for the Phoenix Suns, who at one time I thought was a great player, but now I have no respect, Steve Nash, said that If you don't accept him coming out and saying that he's gay, you need to catch up with the times. We're living in a wicked day, people. When you can watch football, as I did yesterday, and so many of them players, before they receive a kickoff, they do their Hail Mary to the mother of Jesus Christ. We're living in a wicked day. False religion is abounding in our land. And you that are saved, you ought to be thankful that you know the right way, the only way, Jesus Christ. God help our country. God help its leaders. And God especially help we that call ourselves Christians when we sit back and do nothing. Our country is being destroyed by those that are anti-God. I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm not talking about Republicans. I'm not talking about the Tea Party. I'm not talking about the Independents. I'm talking about the wicked that oppose God and they oppose His Word and His people. Now, when the wicked rule, here's what happens. Number one, when the wicked rule, there's a lack of peace. When the wicked rule, there is a lack of peace. When you study the book of Judges, you study the book of 1st, 2nd Kings, and you study those, even those kings of the nation Israel, even after it was divided, after Solomon's death, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, they had kings that the Bible would plainly tell you, either they did what was right, or they did what they thought was right in their own eyes. The Bible makes it very clear over and over in the Old Testament, in the book of Chronicles, and the Chronicles of the kings of Israel and of Judah, that there were kings that chose to do what was wicked. They chose to do the things that they knew were anti-God. They caused their people to go a-whoring after other gods. They led their people, their nation, into idolatry and to spiritual adultery. And when that happened, there was a lack of peace in their land. I want to say to you, as I said earlier, peace can only come from Jesus Christ. It can only come from Him. And I don't want to discourage our children. I really don't want my children being here in the next 10, 20 years. I want the Lord to come back so much so my kids don't have to go through the things that America's heading for. But I'm telling you, when the wicked rule, when you X God out, there's a lack of peace. There's a lack of peace. The Bible says that there's no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. The Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea. It gives a picture that they're stumbling and they're up and they're down and they're in and they're out and they're so confused and there is such a storm in their heart, in their mind, they can't make the right decisions because the peace of God is not ruling in their heart. We are told by the Word of God that when we make a decision, whatever it may be, in our home, in our jobs, whatever position you hold, that you are to pray and let the peace of God lead you and to do what's right. When the wicked rule, there's a lack of peace. The reason that many are gathered around the memorial site of 9/11 in New York, the reason they're gathered around the Pentagon today and there in Pennsylvania is because there was a time of violence. It was a time of a terrorist attack. Why, preacher? Because there's no peace to the wicked. There's no peace without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that a nation that turns from God, He will turn them into hell. That is Bible. When a nation turns from God, He'll turn them into hell. And that's exactly what is happening in our country today. Second of all, when the wicked rule, listen to me, this is, might be one of the most important messages you ever hear as an American citizen. When the wicked rule, there's a lack of peace. Number two, there is a lack of protection. Many people would have never, never, never guessed that two planes would have flew into the North and South Tower of the World Trade Center. Just days before that happened, the intelligence service, the CIA, the FBI was given some information that Bin Laden had some plans of flying planes into buildings. And do you know that days before that happened in 2001, that they pushed it to the side and said that there's no foundation to it? And days later, those planes flew into all those buildings. God only knows where that plane that crashed in Pennsylvania was going. It wasn't going to the ground in a field in Pennsylvania, I promise you that. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? When the wicked rule, there's a lack of protection. This country can have the greatest military that the world has ever known, but without our faith being put in the Lord Jesus Christ, without our truly trusting Him, without us standing for what's right, there is no real protection in this land. There's no protection without Jesus Christ. And when the wicked rule, there's a lack of peace and there's a lack of protection. People say today, I can't believe that happened. Why? Why do you say that? Why do you say you can't believe something like that could happen? Why? It's happened in other countries before 2001, September 11th. Did we think we were invincible? Did we think we were so great that nothing could harm us? God help that we wake up and we get right with the Lord. Number three, when the wicked rule, there's not only a lack of peace, a lack of protection, but there's a lack of provisions. Do you remember that when Moses was used of God to give the plagues upon Pharaoh in Egypt? Do you remember that it got to a place where Pharaoh and his people were lacking in some basic provisions, some essentials? But yet the Bible tells us that Israel, God's people, were being blessed. Let me tell you, if the rest of this country decides to go against God and go away from the Bible, burn the book, the only book that God ever wrote, and to throw it aside and make fun of it and say these Christians are causing all these problems, if we decide to stand up, whether there be one of us, 5, 10, whether there be hundreds of us, if we do what's right, God will not only bring peace in our life, God will not only protect us, but God will provide for our provisions. They had a report just last week on, like they did at the turn in the, what was it, from 99 to 2000, how they said we need to build bunkers and store up food. Do you remember that? And they said we need to start doing that again because of our economy. My hope is not in some green beans down at Ingles. My hope is not in some taters and onions down there at Publix. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And the Lord can't take care of me in the midst of a sorry and falling economy. He's not much of a God. I'm just going to trust the Lord. But when the wicked rule, there's a lack of provision. Number four, when the wicked rule, there's a lack of godly purpose. There's a lack of godly purpose. I've heard people say, I want to find purpose in my life. I've heard people say, I believe my purpose in life is to do this. I thank the Lord for the children that their parents were taking on that day. And yet 10 years later they stand, they give speeches about being enrolled in college and the dreams they now have, and that's a real blessing to my heart. But I want to tell you that we should not be looking for my purpose, but we ought to be looking for God's purpose in our life. What is God's purpose in your life today? What is God's purpose for you living today? What does God have you to do? What does He want you to do? What do you believe is the purpose of our country? How can we? Do you not think that our country be given the liberty that it's got? Do you not think that we're responsible to serve God? Do you not think the country, as great as this has been, we fought the greatest military that during that time and for years, the British forces. And we took a little rag and tag army under the leadership of a man, the greatest president this country's ever had, in my opinion, George Washington. And that man took farmers. He took bakers. He took storekeepers. He took people that they had never shot a gun before. And he brought them together, and by God's leadership and by him spending much time in prayer, we were able to defeat the British forces and attain our liberty today. Don't you know that God's got a purpose for America? I believe one of our purposes is to get the gospel out to the world. I believe the responsibility lies heavily on America today to get the gospel out around the world. And I believe also our godly purpose is not only to get the gospel out, but it is to be a friend of Israel. I want to say fifth and sixth, and we're going to be done. When the wicked rule, there's a lack of peace. When the wicked rule, there's a lack of protection. When the wicked rule, there's a lack of provision. When the wicked rule, there's a lack of godly purpose. When the wicked rule, there's a lack of great potential. I believe that if you don't love the country, that if we can raise an offering and get you a one-way flight to wherever you want to go, I'm all for it. A one-way flight just to send you on out of here, that's fine with me. I'll give the first $10. And if we need more, I'll try to find it. And I love my country. I love it. I thank God for America. I mean, that there just is no flag that is more glorious. There's no country more mighty than our country. But yet in all its might, our country has a lot of weaknesses. It's got a lot of weaknesses. Are you hearing me today? Yet in its great might, it's got a lot of weaknesses. And we have not, as a country, reached the great potential that God has for us as a country in this world today. You'll never reach great potential. You'll never reach it without Jesus Christ in your life. Never. You can't be the father you ought to be without the Lord. You can't be the mom you ought to be without the Lord. You can't be the child. You can't be the pastor. You can't be the Sunday school teacher. You can't be what you are and be your best without Jesus Christ in your life. You can't be it. There's no way a person can reach their potential. There's no way that a country can reach its potential and be anti-Jesus. There's no way. You know, of all the speeches that have been given, God is being mentioned over and over again, but I've not yet heard Jesus Christ. Because God, to many people, can mean a lot of different things. I believe with all my heart when our president read his speech this morning, I heard it. He's reading from the book of Psalms. It wasn't the King James Version he read, but he was reading. And God was mentioned over and over. I told my wife, I said, knowing that he is a Muslim, believes in the Muslim faith, he is not talking about our God. He's talking about the God Allah. Islam believes, teaches that they will rule the world. So it's just appropriate that he read the scripture about his little g, God. Say, we're living in a wicked day. Don't be fooled by those that call God's name. What's wrong with proclaiming Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. People says on the dollar bill and on the coins, it has "In God We Trust." They said, well, we're a Christian nation. Of course, our president said during the, I believe, days before he was elected president, during the campaign, he said that our nation is no longer a Christian nation. That's his own words. And of course, he wanted to say that. He don't have no desire for our nation to be a Christian nation. As a lot of those people in the Capitol, down at Capitol Hill doesn't. A lot of people around this community don't. But you'll never reach great potential without Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to close with this, number six. When the wicked rule, there's a lack of peace, there's a lack of protection, there's a lack of provision, there's a lack of godly purpose, there's a lack of great potential, and last of all, there is a gauntlet towards biblical witnessing and biblical preaching. I wanted to use the word gag. Gag is to try to shut somebody up. That's what the word means. But I use the word gauntlet. I'm going to tell you today, we're living in a land that is trying to shut men of God up. They're trying to shut God's men up. The religious never get persecuted. It's always the righteous. The righteous will suffer persecution, not the religious. And they're trying today to shut us up as Christians. They're trying today to say that we're insignificant. When you have colleges, as I referred to earlier, that don't want to offend people by singing the Star Spangled Banner, because it talks about bombs and rockets, red glare. When you hear about men that are asked to pray before political meetings, and then they're told not to mention Jesus Christ's name. When you hear about the Ten Commandments being taken out of the courtrooms. When you hear about prayer being taken out of our schools. The Word of God used to be, years ago, in public schools. They used to have Bible. Used to have Bible. Used to have prayer. Do you know that at Spout Springs Elementary, where my wife works, that is no longer called a time of prayer? It's not even called a moment of silence. But every single day, my wife has to hear the principal come across the intercom and say, let's have a moment of reflection. And now that God's been kicked out of schools, our hallways are filled with cops. When you kick God out, terrible things happen. And they're trying to shut us up, but you better go and you better proclaim the Word of God with all your heart. And you better go and reach our fellow countrymen with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you better let them know that Jesus died for them. Jesus arose the third day. And Jesus said with His own lips, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You and I will have to stand before God one day, and we're going to be questioned, we're going to be judged on what kind of an American citizen we were, what did we do with that liberty that God granted us, and we're going to be judged on what kind of Christian we were. What do we do with the liberty that comes from Jesus Christ? People are going to hell. I guess one of the most devastating images of 9/11 is to see the folks that had a choice. They had a choice to burn or to jump. Every time I see that image, whether it's on TV or in the book that Morgan has at home from Life magazine, I see the bodies falling. I think that every single minute, people in our county, in our state, in our country, and in our world are falling into hell. And once they fall into hell, just like those on that day, that morning, there's no way you can help them. We've got to reach them before they jump. Someone wrote this up, and Miss Sarah, please come to our instrument. Someone wrote this, trying to express what someone may feel while they were in hell. It begins by, "This is the blackest black I ever saw. It doesn't get any lighter or darker. I can't see anything, but that terrifying darkness is all around me. The smoke is too thick. I've been gagging from its hot smoke. The heat is worse than awful. I can hear flames cracking and popping, but I can't see any fire. I feel like I'm burning all over and all through me. The pain is terrible. I squirm and move, but I never find a position that helps. I get no rest because of that horrible roar of groans and prayers and cussings and screaming. Oh, how I pray. I pray silently. I pray aloud. I even yell and cuss God. But I have this eerie feeling that it's doing no good. I've lost all count of time. I never see the sun or the moon. I'm afraid I'll be kept here forever in this mad burning house. And every minute seems like an eternity. Where am I? Is this earth? Some other planet? Where? There's no need for me to run. I don't know where to go. And I have this stomach sinking feeling that I'm falling all the time. Yet I never land anywhere. My past comes crashing into my consciousness. I didn't think about many things as being wrong when I did them, but now I wonder how I could have done all of those horrible things. I try to put them out of my mind, but I can't stop remembering. I remember the preacher at the church when I came that Sunday morning and heard him preach from the Bible. I remember as he shed tears and he told me that I needed to be saved. I remember it all. I feel so guilty, I'm unclean. I feel like a piece of falling, burning garbage. I remember my good times, but I sense that they're gone forever. And this fills me with despair. I don't recognize any of those voices or names. No one calls my name. No one looks for me. Where are my friends now? Everyone is concerned with his own fate. I'm in the midst of a huge multitude, but I'm lost. No one knows I'm here. No one cares. I don't think I can stand another second of this, yet I have no choice. I never sleep, nor even wink. I can't. I don't realize I could remain fully conscious this long. I want to sleep. I want to faint. If I could go out of existence some way, it would be heaven in this hell. There seems to be no way I can escape this black, smoky hothouse. Since no one hears my cries or anything I say, I am hopelessly trapped. Wait! Something different is happening now. I'm not having this falling sensation anymore. I see light. I can barely see it, and I'm being transported so fast I find it difficult to know what's happening. Am I actually leaving this awful place? Now I've stopped. I'm standing somewhere. I'm amazed how clearly and how far I can see. I've been in the dark so long I can't stop blinking. I don't see any clouds, but where is the sun? I don't see it anywhere. What is even more strange, there are no shadows. How can this be? I don't understand this sudden change. What is about to happen to me? What is this place? Where am I? I've never saw so many people before. As far as I can see, there are human beings, and I didn't know that many people had ever been born. This human ocean is moving all in one direction. It moves and stops and moves and stops and moves and stops. Since people are all around me, I have to move with them. And I'm getting a swaying sensation and I feel sick in my stomach. Stomach? My body. My hands, my legs, I'm all here. How wonderful! Am I seeing through my eyeballs? I feel to make sure that I am. They're actually here, even though the light is so bright. I'll force my eyelids to stay open so I can enjoy being normal again. This is so wonderful. Even though these eyeballs seem so strange, what's happening up ahead? Some man is sitting in a big white chair on a platform. We're all moving towards him. The people in front of me, one at a time, are walking up to the platform. Oh, I can see now. There's a table. And some enormous books are open on it. A man is kneeling at the table in front of the man in the chair. Why? I can see two of them talking. They're so serious, but what about? The man kneeling is suddenly reached out with his hands. He's pleading and he's begging. He's getting loud, but the man in the chair looks stern. He is shaking his head no. Who are those other people? Are they people? I've never saw anyone like them before. Is this what they call angels? They're pulling the man to his feet. And they're escorting him somewhere. He's screaming and he's trying to jerk away. Now he's gone. That man that sits in the chair, he just can't be who I think he is. But oh no, he is. I'm going to have to kneel before him like the others did. There's no way that I can avoid it. Now I know what's in those books. But I can't stand the thoughts of having to face what's written in them. I'm shaking all over like never before. They're going to drag me away too. The fire again. That horrible blackness. My time is over. And in hell forever I'll be. Oh no. Oh no. Oh God, have mercy. Please. I hear my name called. My name is you. If you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder if there's somebody in this church. You've been playing church for a while. The day's coming when you'll have to stand before the just and holy judge, God Almighty. He will search the Lamb's Book of Life and He'll search for your name. And if your name's not there, it's not because it's a mistake. It's because you never were born again. You may proclaim, but I went to church at Open Door Baptist. I went a lot. I even gave some money. I did this, I did that. But yet if your name is not there, it's because you've never confessed your sin and asked Him to save you. I'm telling you, there are people today that are begging for just one more opportunity. They're begging for what you have right now. One more chance to get to the altar. One more chance to fall on your face before God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Save me, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life and make me a Christian. They wish to God for just one more opportunity. You have that today. The greatest opportunity you'll ever be given is to be saved. If you're not saved, won't you give your heart to Jesus right now? And you that are saved, I want you to examine your heart. Do you remember how you were 10 years ago when you heard about the devastation and the attacks and how that... I remember people started coming to this church. They hadn't been here in a while. They started coming to church. They're not here today. Because an experience cannot change you. Only Jesus Christ can. How are you 10 years later as an American, as a Christian? How has it changed your life? Are you closer to God? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet the Lord? He's given you another service. And you would be foolish. You would be foolish to walk out of here and reject Him again or not get right with Him today. I want you to stand. This altar is open. If you want to come and pray, I want you to come. If you want to be saved, you can ask the Lord to save you this morning. You can ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. You can ask God to come into your life. Only He can forgive you. Only He can save you. One of the saddest things, I believe, would be in my life. Although I love my daughter and what a sad time it was with her leukemia, that's not the saddest thing could ever be in my life. People that used to come here and were faithful and now they're out. Their heart is wicked. Every chance they give, they run down the man of God in the church. That's sad, but that's not the saddest thing. The saddest thing that could ever happen to me is that when it's all said and done and we stand before Jesus Christ and we are ushered into heaven and a person that attended this church on Hog Mountain Road in Flower Branch was not in heaven with us. That is the saddest thing could ever happen to me. I don't want your money. I don't want to be famous. I just want you to be saved. I just want you to serve the Lord. That has been my heart from day one. And some days I'm on fire, some days I'm cold. Some days I'm up, some days I'm down. But it has remained true that this pastor of this church for the past 10.5 years has had a desire to see people saved and to see them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm begging you to get saved today. I'm begging you to forget about what somebody else thinks. Oh, forget about your pride. Ask God to save you right now. Say, Lord, come into my heart, save me. I want to know for sure that I'm saved. And if you're saved today, but you're not right. There are so many ways that you can be wrong with God. I mean, so many ways. So many ways. You can be unfaithful to church. You can be unfaithful to your giving, your tithing. You can be unfaithful to your Bible reading, unfaithful to praying. You could be a person with malice in your heart, strife, jealousy, envy. There are so many ways that you could be wrong with God. Why don't you get that right? I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm asking you to be right with God. Ask God to search your heart. I don't want no one looking around. Children, close your eyes. Teenagers, adults, every one of you, close your eyes. I want to ask a very personal question. Does everybody say, Preacher, I gave my life to the Lord today. Anybody like that today? I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Today's the day, Preacher. I did that. I mean, say, Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I've recommitted myself to the Lord for the sake of my country, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my church. I've recommitted myself to the Lord today. And I want to be serious about serving the Lord. No one's looking around. Anybody like that? You've made that commitment today. God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for what You've done in our hearts today. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercy. I pray, God, You'd help, Lord, this church, Lord. Oh, God, help this church, Lord. I pray, Lord, if they'll be one that's, they may be here, they may not be here, Lord, but their mind, their heart is wayward. I pray, God, You'll deal with their heart and they'll live for You. I pray, God, You'd help our families that are lost, our friends that are lost without God, that we'll reach them, we'll have compassion, we'll go after them before it's everlasting too late. I pray, Lord, that in Jesus' name You'll use the Word of God, not only in our hearts, but those that may have heard today, those that will hear, use it, Lord, for Thy glory. And Lord, help us to take a stand. Help us take a stand. Lord, help me not to turn my head as an American Christian. Help me not to turn my head like the priest did. But help me to be like the Good Samaritan and go and help people. Help them with the Bible. In Jesus' name we beg You. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for being here today. It's been a different type of service, but I sure do love you. Thank you. God bless you.